The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Wednesday morning at 9:05, the 26th of May now, 2021. Great to have your company. It is A-OK outside weather-wise, nothing to be worrying about. Just bring an umbrella, sunglasses, hat and canoe. Because it's kind of like that this week, but I believe, and I'm very happy about this because I'm going to be off for the first couple of weeks of June. So I'm going to be Johnny Smugworthy and say that the first couple of weeks of June are looking good. Answer me this, do you think I should climb Carrig Tuathail? And if so, would I enjoy it? And if so, should I go up with somebody who knows the territory? I believe that's, you go up with a guide or something like that. Someone just told me yesterday. I just think I'd like to do that. I think it would be really gorgeous. I have, would you believe, a good pair of hiking boots. And no, don't laugh. Come on. I got them for some event. Okay. Do you want me to read the Angry Seagull letter? Will I read that as well this morning? I'll ring the Angry Seagull man. I'll read his letter in a second. He's not angry. He's just, he's making a point, an ornithological point. And I appreciate that because I'm all about the marine world at the moment because this book I'm reading, I'm completely absorbed by this book. I'm completely taken by this book called Madhouse at the End of the Earth about, this is kind of Shackleton Crean stuff, except that it's a Belgian boat, the Belgica, sailing into the Antarctic, but and it's a true story, and it's about getting the money together for the expedition. It's about assembling this team. It's like Marvel, but with idiots who are really smart. Do you know that sort of thing? Like when I say idiots, they're just emotionally unintelligent, almost savants, like just really smart, but they can't get on, and they're from Norway and Belgium and America, and no one knows how to speak the other language. So it's a recipe for disaster. And yet, they know enough individually that when they go along, they get into the ice and the packs of ice, and can they need blades of grass. I mean, these are they're pioneers and explorers, and it's just a world I never embraced until this week, and I'm fascinated by it, and I want to learn so much more. Anyway, it's about this book, and I'll be interviewing the author of it tomorrow, Julian Sancton. I would really urge you to get, it's further, if you know somebody in your life who just loves history or geography or the world, curious about anything, you're going to love it. Hence the Angry Seagull email I was talking about. And again, I don't mean to be, look, one man's anger is another man's passive aggression and another person's point making, not even scoring, just making a point. So look, we'll get, if you want to hear the emotionally charged email about seagulls, let me know and we'll see. But for the moment, let's keep going. Other discovery of the week. You love Call the Midwife. I mean, you really love Call the Midwife. I got a lot of emails about, but you also love midwifery and you love the Irish midwives who are all praised in letters that we got emails overnight, which is really, really lovely. And I'm going to bring some of those to you this morning. As well, I met loads of people yesterday. I had the pleasure of the company of Miss Roisin Ingle for a little while yesterday for an interview we did in the pier in Dunleary. And it was good to catch up and shoot the breeze and the rain because it got very, very wet. I don't know how the interview survived because it was raining a lot because we were outdoors. But I met a lot of people from the New Park School that were on there doing an orienteering course along the way. And I met some people from a particular nursing home that I want to say good morning to this morning. And other people that we put up pictures on Instagram, and they were all lovely to a last, man, woman and child. So good morning to you all and thanks for stopping to say hello. It was really good to see yous all on that weirdly four seasons in one day class of Tuesday. But today I'm very excited because I've got a very busy day and I have, do you remember that thing we used to have before COVID? A schedule when you actually had things to do. And I'm starting to get things to do. So one of them is today I've kind of give myself kind of school tours around this time of year, and one of them is today, and in the afternoon I'm going to the National Museum in Collins Barracks, where I'm going to meet some of the people who are in charge of the stuff, the countless thousands of items behind the scenes that they don't have room to show, but they're bringing me in to this kind of like chocolate factory of history to look at all the things that might be of interest. So it's it's a real privilege of the job, and I'll report back to you tomorrow how that goes. But yeah, I'm very excited to go in and do that, among many other things. Did you see Luke O'Neill's tweet about New York? New York City will be vaccinating people on beaches from this weekend. We'll vaccinate them on the hills, we'll vaccinate them on the beaches. And they will. The city of New York, NYC Gov, tweeted to say beaches will open this weekend and we'll have mobile vaccination buses on site to get you the protection you need as we head into the summer. And so you need sunscreen, a towel and your COVID-19 vaccine. Hashtag summer of NYC is here. Oh, can't wait. I've been thinking about New York a lot last week. I'd love to go back. Karen Toohill will absolutely go with Con Moriarty as your guide and round the trip of the lakes and the Gap of Dunloe and the Ducks with Ducks Donoghue. Sounds like I'm going to be joining a 1940s mob. But hey, Ducks Donoghue, you mean the Karen Toohill recently? So I'll try all that. Thanks for those suggestions. And food will be obviously essential as I Shackleton my way to the top of the hill and Queen my way back down to the bottom again. The grand old Duke of Karen Toohill. Karen Toole is another one, definitely says PJ Cannon, Kinnegad. Harry's Bar in Kinnegad is where you used to stop for a sandwich on the way to Galway. Anyway, but with a guide, the first time is best. Great. Try Pat Falvey. Well, now Pat will be busy, man. I won't. Hello, Pat. Yeah, it's Tubberty. Any chance? It's tough, but toughest without a guided hike, as you'll find out while doing. No, I wouldn't go up without a guide the first time, that's for sure. But I'm definitely going to do it. So I just need to find the right circumstances and the right person. And I'll follow that up. So thank you for those tips to 51551. A shuttle bus, says the Irish Examiner today. A shuttle bus service bringing the people of Limerick to the vaccination centre at the Radisson Blue Hotel in the outskirts of the city has kicked off. It's a bus errand service running every 20 minutes, Monday through Sunday, to facilitate people travelling to the centre. And the first bus leaves Colbert Station at 7:40 a.m. Final service at 8:10 p.m. It's the price of the ticket that baffles me. €1.68. Now, if you're the sort of person who carries cash, it has to be exact coins and cash only. €1.68, you say? It's okay, I'll walk. But or it does take, I'm glad to tell you, free travel passes and leap cards are also acceptable. So you're okay. Back to the nautical world. Nautical but nice. Scientists have released recordings of singing humpback whales off the coast of New York. So we're combining two of our stories already. New York and the ocean world. And here they are, scientists from the Wildlife Conservation Society of Cornell University, Columbia University and Syracuse University captured the sounds using underwater recording equipment. Didn't you know when Finding Dory has made a mockery of whale sounds because they do the sounds and now people think they can do whale imitations. But I wonder, would whales be grossly offended by humans trying to get in on their vocal act? Anyway, continuing to the story from the New York Times. They used this underwater recording equipment placed on the seafloor about 70 miles south of Long Island. And only males produce songs during the annual breeding season. See, the whale patriarchy is out of control. They insist on being the only ones to make sounds and the breeding season. Not fair. Males, females, sub-adults, know a few of those, and calves make calls at other times. So they do have a go, but just at different times. And the acoustic recorders provide the opportunity to detect vocalising whales year-round and complement visual surveys during months when humpback whales are frequently seen feeding off New York and New Jersey. Would you like to hear what they recorded? This is the actual sound of the humpback whale calling, call to arms, if you like, in the seas around New York City. Finding Nemo, didn't they? I mean, it sounds it's like, ooh, anyone around? Ooh. But very nice. And they are the sounds of the... Imagine if you were on one of those expeditions to Antarctica and you heard stuff like that. One of the things I was reading about it this morning was, I didn't realise it, whales have the most appalling breath smell of them all. They're in their journals, they're writing, and the word rank came up. I thought that was kind of a more recent... addition to people who, God help them, suffer from halitosis or just eat too much garlic. But nevertheless, whales, apparently when he was trying to take a picture as close as possible, the quail opens and goes, oh, for, what did you eat? And the fact of the matter is, it is what they're eating that causes such a disgusting smell. But they were. Three of us are climbing Carntuil on the 13th of June. It's our first time. We'll let you know how it goes. Thank you, but I think I might beat you to the punch there. Meanwhile, I'll take you there and then cook dinner afterwards. Paul. Oh, Paul Trevo is, well, if, at least Paul, my problem is that my nursery palate may be just too juvenile for what you offer. I don't do posh food, and I think that that's going to be an issue, Paul, because you're just too good. You might be too good for me is what I'm trying to say. Unless you do a children's menu, in which case, see you then. In the meantime, keeping it nautical, but this time sad nautical, the man who sang a song that was to prove a great influence in my life on the Toy Show a couple of years ago, by the name of Samuel E. Wright, voiced, of course, Sebastian, the crab lobster, the crabster, the lobgrub. I still don't know what he was or what he is, but he sang the great song.
Even the sturgeon and the ray, they did the earth and start to play. We got the spirit, you got to hear it under the sea. Play the flute, the top, play the hop, the place, play the bass and the sound, the chop, the bass, play the brass, the chop, play the top. The flute is the Duke of Soul. The way he can play the names on the strings, the chop, rocking on the blackfish, he sings his belt and his front. They know where it's at, they know that blowfish blow.
A great song. It's a happy song. But anyway, sad story because Samuel E. Wright, the voice of Sebastian, has died at the age of 74, very young, sad to say, but he was a two-time Tony-nominated actor, provided the Trinidadian-accented voice of the fun-loving Sebastian the Crab lobster in the 1989 film The Little Mermaid. And he was just no stranger to the boards of Broadway, essentially. Got a nomination for his role as the dad in The Tap Dance Kid, got another for The Lion King in 1998, appeared in Bird, the Clint Eastwood film, as Dizzy Gillespie. But it was for, Sebastian the Crab in The Little Mermaid that he will be remembered. Samuel E. Wright, may he rest in peace. And he gave us all such joy when he was with us. Meanwhile, back to the text. Remember, says Michael, Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home, all about humpback whale song. Yeah, what a trippy script. Funny you should mention that. I've been thinking about Star Trek quite a bit, reading the book about the Antarctica, because that's what that Star Trek is all about. It's about the ship heading into, and the guy who wrote this book that we're hopefully we're talking to tomorrow got the idea to write it because he was reading about Mars, a mission to Mars and undiscovered country, and that's what it is. Star Trek, isn't there a Star Trek undiscovered country? Does it star Christopher Plummer, who quotes Shakespeare? I'm nerding out now, forgive me. Let me return to the text. Ruby was on to say, if you are climbing Carntuil, please make sure it's the right mountain. Okay, good advice. 40 years ago, trying to impress my then boyfriend, now husband, we struggled, puffed and panted, then sighed with relief and exhaustion when we reached the summit. Until we looked at the map, we were on the wrong mountain. He hasn't changed and still takes scenic routes to get lost no matter where we go. He travels through Baggot Street to get to the airport. If you live 5 minutes from the M50, he's one of those people. So go for it, Ryan. Climb it for me. I will, Ruby. I'll send you a picture. Star Trek 6, The Undiscovered Country, Christopher Plummer, the one as the one-eyed Klingon. Yep. Met a few of those too. That was from 1991. And that was a good film. Let slip the dogs of war. It's one of those. Anyway, the Irish Examiner telling us that social media companies must acknowledge their responsibility. Good luck with that. In tackling cyberbullying, as some situations are almost impossible for schools to address. I would hate to be a school child in the era of social media. I'm so glad I didn't have it because it's just too much. Anyway, according to school management bodies who met with the Oireachtas Education Committee on Tuesday, continued its discussions on school bullying and its impact on mental health. Schools are expecting a rise in interpersonal issues occurring outside of school on social media, according to Seamus Mulconry of the Catholic Primary School Management Association. Social media, he says, companies have gotten away lightly in these debates. And we know that social media is designed to be addictive. And we know that they're collecting vast amounts of information on all of us who use it. It also means that they are now able to recognise patterns within that so that they should be able to have technology that can identify bullying when it's taking place. Well, God help you and good luck with that fight. Dalkey Book Festival That looks like it's happening, which is good news. It's a very fine festival. And they announced that they're going to welcome Bernie Sanders back to the festival in 2021. He'll be speaking to David McWilliams remotely. Oh, very good. Okay, in our Martello Tower studio about the state of US politics and what to say. So they're still on the Zoom calls for that, but all in good time. It'll be back to relative normality, and as will every event. Aileen here, Kerry girl, using that term loosely, living in Cork, climbed Carron Hill years ago, and you really must do it. Base yourself in the lovely town of Killorglin, and if you stay in Kingston's townhouse, they do guided tours as part of yours. Thank you for this excellent advice. I'm also hoping I might get back to Skibbereen at some point and do the proper famine trail visit. I've loads of things I'd like to be doing. And spending my time catching up on gorgeous things we didn't do and couldn't do for the last little while. So that's all part of that. The researchers have believe they have identified the upper limit of human mortality. Mortality. So they reckon, they now know that regardless of all the science fiction programs and all the fantasy ideas of where or how or who you can age, they reckon that top line now is 150. That in due course, 150. You know, nowadays, octogenarians are spring chickens these days. And then it'll head into the 90s and the 100s. And I presume the next couple of decades or so, we will have people who are 130. And it won't be uncommon. But they reckon then it'll stop. 150 isn't quite enough. Christopher Plummer quoted Shakespeare a lot in that film. Okay. Actually, that's nice. That brings me to the Angry Seagull. Will we do it? Okay. Because I love when people get a little bit miffed. So Eamon O'Sullivan, I should say, from Wicklow Town was on to say, Cara. So it's a nice friendly start in Barnstorm, and it's a fair point. On a recent programme, I heard your little rant about seagulls. Yes, just as a sidebar, I was talking about a seagull who had a bowel movement above the head of one of my colleagues. And it was it emptied what was essentially a goldfish tank's worth of activity. You get the point. As a lover of all birds, says Eamon, I just wish to point out that, to my knowledge, there is no such species as a seagull. Ah, I stand corrected, sir. In Ireland, we have herring gulls, black-headed gulls, we do, common gulls, the magnificent black-backed gulls, and many others, but not seagulls. Ah, the index of any reputable bird book will confirm this. I have about six of them. All reputable, but largely untouched. I'll keep going. Which one have you taken a dislike to? Or is it all gulls? Asks Eamon. If so, it's a pity, as many are lovely and impressive birds. Sláinte, Eamon O'Sullivan. I respect your ornithological knowledge, and I will now make it a point of trying to be a bit more specific when it comes to my discussion on gulls. And in fact, I will ask my colleague, who still, by the way, has clothes in the dry cleaners and tumble dryer at home, which of the birds unloaded upon him that day and destroyed not only him, but his toddling child and pram, which may be actually unresellable now on eBay. So, but thank you, Eamon. For all my joking, I do accept or appreciate the point. Danke. Margaret says, you just triggered a deja vu. My now deceased GP many, many years ago had a sign in the surgery which read, halitosis is better than no breath at all. Very, very droll. Very droll. Okay, it's 9:24. A little bit of Aretha. Nothing wrong with that song either. You make me feel like a natural little woman. At 9:26, 51551 is the text. Do the climb. Do the climb. You won't regret it. And while you're at it, head for Beara and go to Dersey Island in the cable car. I've never done that, funny enough. That's one of the few things we didn't get to do on the Wild Atlantic Way. Maybe this is the time. Or maybe do a boat trip with Beara Boat Tours. Yeah, okay, great. Beara Lodge accommodations and a fire perfect private chalet. A chalet to base yourself. Whatever you do, enjoy your breakaway. I will. Thank you very much. Another sign from a doctor's surgery. You can feel pain. You know you're alive. Again, I'd rather just not have the pain. But still, I get the point. Kira from Kells was on, Carron Tool. I did it 32 county peaks in 32 days. Good Lord. In the summer of 2019. Pierce from Kerry Climbing. In fact, I've heard great things about Piers from Kerry Climbing. He was amazing guiding us on up the highest point of Ireland on Cairn Two Hill. He knows every inch of the mountain and climbs it every day, weather permitting. Super guide. An absolute gent. You love it. I've done it twice, but both under clouds at the top. But still, spectacular day out. Exactly. Thank you for that. James says, please inform your colleague that got posed on and he is lucky it wasn't a swan. Oh, then he'd know all about it. Okay. Yeah, okay, gotcha. The colleague that got pooed on, I think, is yes. Lucky it wasn't a swan. Are they worse? I've never. Okay, we don't need to get into that right now, but thank you for that. Further to the lovely programme about midwives, Margaret says, I'd like to give a shout out to the fabulous midwifery tutor, Joan Fitzgerald, who taught us in St. James's Hospital up until the 80s. She was an expert in her field and had a wonderful brain. She had such respect for birthing women and their stories. She taught us about life and gave us a metaphorical kick in the behind when we needed it. I found her a few years ago and knocked on her door, and she had a caregiver with her. I just had to hug her and thank her for drumming the information into us. She was a huge positive influence on my life. I wonder where she is now, says Margaret. Speaking about caregivers, John wrote me a lovely handwritten letter from Cavan, and he said, he wanted to thank us for the show, and that's very nice. Keep you going. But may I also thank my therapist from the HSE National Counselling Service, who often was the only person I got out of my pyjamas and shaved for each week to talk to. He'll be embarrassed to accept this, so I won't name him, but I'm sure he and other therapists helped us with mental health a lot. They are silent healers, and thanks to you too. Sorry for the rough note, John says. No, don't be sorry at all. We'll take notes by any name or hue onto the programme, and we appreciate you taking the time to write to us. Can you tell me the name, Emers asks, of the book you were talking about earlier? My lovely 18-year-old daughter, Niamh, is a Hodges Figgis. She's there now, looking to buy her daddy a book. Oh, get it fast. She's flying home to us in Donegal today. It's called Madhouse at the End of the Earth by Julian Sancton, S-A-N-C-T-O-N. And Emer, get back to us by text and let us know if she got it. Do they have it in that weirdly named bookshop? And if so, did she get her copy of it? I presume it's in shops now, is it? God, I hope so. Me telling you all about it. Let's talk to this great guy, Martin Dunn, standing by more live in studio after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Right, lovely Martin. He very kindly gave me a lovely set of cufflinks and a tie pin from the National Ambulance Service and a couple of badges as well relating to what they do. So that's very generous and they'll be treasured. And he is, and that's a great text. That sums him up. He's a class act as a text. I'm out for a walk in Carrick on Shannon and an ambulance has just passed me and I had to give him a big smile and a wave. And that's right. That's the right way to do it. And they're amazing. I'm a doctor with the National Ambulance Service, says IFA, and I work with the brilliant team there. I was further humbled when I recently stopped at a road traffic collision. The crew were so amazing to be faced with what they had to deal with on a regular basis and still put one foot in front of the other en route to the next patient in need takes something really special. Yeah, you're so right. Lovely observation. And only reassuring us of the wisdom of having a guest like Martin Dunn on the programme this morning, who represents so many people doing such good things out and about this gorgeous island today. You should accept Paul Trevo's offer. Yes, indeed. His restaurant is awesome. Awesome. I'm always afraid to go back there in case the experience is less special than my previous one, but it turns out it's somehow always better than I remembered. From Anne, a plain eater in Killarney. Okay, you got me. You convinced me. Gary from Clare, similar situation to an earlier text. My friend and I attempted to climb Cairn Two Hill. Upon reaching the peak, I could see in the distance a higher mountain, Cairn Two Hill. My friend remarked that the other mountain looked higher. I didn't want to admit my mistake, so I simply remarked that perhaps it was an illusion or that he had altitude sickness. What a spoofer you are. I mean, it takes one to spot one, and you, sir, are a spoofer. We go with this song. This is a risky one, but I'm going to play it anyway because I was talking about Paul McCartney's album, McCartney 3, and it's full of songs, and some of them are very, very good. But then he reimagined it with people. And this is a guy called Dominic Fike, and who I don't know, but he took a song from that album called The Kiss of Venus, and he gave it a very 21st century feel, which is why I like it, and which is why I'm going to play it for you. And I hope you like it too. You'll notice the little Beatley hue to this modern feel.
In the early
Now, I like that. I hope you like that too. It's called Kiss of Venus and it's Paul McCartney with Dominic Fike at 4 minutes to ten.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Eimear and Donegal, the daughter who was in Hottest Figures looking for the book I'm talking about, The Ends of the Earth, Madness at the End of the Earth, her daughter got it in the bookshop, which is good. And they're heading to the airport to fly home to us a safe travels. You got the book and that's how it all works. I can't believe this. Alan Partridge. Alan Partridge is coming to Dublin to do a live show in the Three Arena in April 2022. It's true.
Hello, I'm Alan Partridge. I will be bringing my brand new live stage show to Dublin, April 2022. Please, please join me.
Steve Coogan, I mean, he is just quite something. And I will have Partridge. I have a curious relationship with Partridge. As you can probably imagine. All right, coming towards the end of the programme, tomorrow we'll talk to Julian Sancton, the author of Madhouse at the End of the Earth, which is the book I've been banging on about for the last 2 days, and then I'll stop talking about it tomorrow. But in the meantime, thank you for all those great texts about Karen Toohill and advice and places to go, and they're all much appreciated. All emails welcome to Ryan at RTE.ie if you want to get in touch about anything else we've been talking about. I'll try and get to some of the Call the Midwife emails tomorrow. I know that a lot of you have been writing into us about that. So tomorrow's only Thursday, so we've plenty of time to get through everything. All right. That's it for today. Have a great old day, won't you? Stay tuned to Claire Byrne, who's standing by, and we'll talk to you tomorrow between 9 and 10. Thank you for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.